I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. My first guest tonight is Dr. Francisco Contreras, Director, President, and Chairman of the Oasis of Hope Hospital. Dr. Contreras graduated with honors from the prestigious School of Medicine of the National Autonomous University of Mexico and continued his studies at the University of Vienna, Austria, where he specialized in surgical oncology and again graduated with honors. He is recognized as a cancer expert who combines conventional and alternative treatments with emotional and spiritual support. In his position, he oversees the treatment of 400 cancer patients annually. Dr. Contreras received personal instructions from his father, Dr. Ernesto Contreras, who was an alternative medicine pioneer. The Oasis of Hope was founded in 1963, and since then the hospital has provided integrative cancer treatment for over 100,000 patients. Dr. Contreras lectures frequently at universities and conferences throughout the United States, Mexico, Central and South America, Europe, and Asia. He has authored 12 books on cancer, including The Hope of Living Cancer-Free, Becoming Cancer Cure, Fighting Cancer 20 Different Ways, Dismantling Cancer, and the recently published Hope, Medicine, and Healing. More information is available at www.oasisofhope.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Francisco, and I look forward to learning more about the Oasis of Health. I reviewed material on your website last night, and it was really good to see that you integrate approaches to cancer in practice. Can you tell us how you integrate different approaches to benefit the patient?
Well, a lot of times I've been criticized from, you know, the alternative movement that I do conventional therapies, and by the same token, I've been severely criticized by conventional doctors that I do alternatives. And my answer to that is I don't care about the criticism. What I care is having the best possible medicine for my patients.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, cancer is a very complicated disease. And we need all the tools possible to help our patients. So statistically speaking, from our experience, we've had 45 years of experience, treated more than 100,000 patients, so we know what we're talking about.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
There are some tumors that respond very, very well to alternative therapies and some that don't. And on the other side, everybody knows that there are some tumors that respond extremely well to chemotherapy and others don't.
Mm-hmm.
Case in point, you probably all have heard about the case of Daniel Hauser.
In
that case, lymphomas are curable, especially Hodgkin's lymphomas are curable in about 85 to 90% of the cases with chemotherapy.
Oh.
The problem and the reason why most likely the mother, you know, fled very likely to Mexico is that she was just appalled by these side effects.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do is create a shield of protection against the side effects of chemotherapy at our hospital in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And that way our patients, when we feel that chemotherapy would be beneficial to them, diminish tremendously the amount of side effects, and so we can take advantage of chemotherapy when it works.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's great. And what process, then, does a patient go through when they come to your hospital?
Most of the patients, when they arrive because they, you know, just hit the wall. Somebody told them that everything that could possibly be offered to them was offered to them, and there was nothing more to give. And so they start then seeking for alternatives.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the majority of patients that come to us from around the world come in that condition.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I read something about cognitive restructuring, about integrating physical, mental, spiritual, how you use herbs, you do use detoxing, prayer, music. So can you tell us about all of a little bit about this whole approach, because it's really interesting, and it's an approach that I support very much.
Well, the power of the mind is incredibly useful for a patient in distress. It's always useful, but especially when a patient is in distress.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why we use all of those is because if a patient believes that he is going to die, very likely he will.
Mm-hmm.
And so the reframing and restructuring of his emotional status to us is extremely important, because if we have a patient that is still willing to fight, we are going to have a possibility to help.
Mm-hmm.
If that patient has given up, there's very little that we can do. So emotional resources are a very important part of our therapy at the Oasis of Hope Hospital.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But emotional fortitude is only stands basically on your spiritual status.
Mm-hmm.
So your spiritual status changes dramatically the perspective of life and death. And so for us, providing resources at the spiritual level is as important or even more important, because when a patient comes to the conclusion that his eternity is resolved, he or she will be able to face the odds, or let's call it death, in a very different way. And when a patient is no longer then afraid of death, because she or he will understand what is next for them,
mm-hmm.
It's like the tumor saying, man, it's no more fun being in this patient. And that's when we see incredible miracles.
Mm-hmm.
And I call them miracles very openly, because we see patients where normally they should not respond to any of the things that we're doing. And yet the tumors diminish in size or even go away. And I just have mm-hmm. to come to the acceptance that we're good, but not that good. And so we see a lot of miracles happen
mm-hmm.
when we provide our patients with those two elements that are critical for their life and for their life thereafter, which are the emotional and spiritual resources.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I found when I had lung cancer 33 years ago that my faith in God was probably the most important aspect of my recovery, because I knew I was going...
I agree totally with that. Those are things that you cannot really explain, purely on scientific basis, but definitely... they happen, and why not expose patients to those areas and for them to make the decision whether they want to believe in God and that God can take care of them.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us more about the detoxing and the prayer and the herbs and music, how you coordinate?
Yes, as you know, our life depends on how good or bad our immune system is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So no matter how potent a therapy can be as far as destroying the tumor may go even away, but if your immune system continues to be in bad shape, it's going to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the biggest drawbacks of chemotherapy, that they actually can destroy a tumor. But whatever cells are left behind, they're going to come back with a vengeance, because there's nobody or no elements in that person to defend
mm-hmm.
them from the tumor coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And so for us, immune stimulation is one of the most important aspects of our therapy. And there are many ways that you can stimulate your immune system. Of course, herbs, a good diet, mm-hmm. many supplements, many hormone-like supplements like melatonin
mm-hmm.
Will have a positive impact on the immune system, and there's a tremendous amount of literature behind this. So doctors should be taking more advantage of this possibilities to help their patients.
Right.
But there are even more potent immune-stimulating agents than herbs and good food and phytochemicals. And those are the, again, the emotional and the spiritual aspects of stimulating the immune system. There are many studies that show that laughter is a very potent immune stimulating agent,
right,
as well as prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And music, but even colors, the colors of our hospital were all chosen not because we like them, but because the literature shows that there are certain colors that are very potent immune stimulating agents, and they stimulate the immune system, and there are colors that actually depress the immune system.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly enough, we found that the most depressing colors for the immune system are white and blue, and most hospitals are painted white and blue.
Mm-hmm.
And the most immune stimulating are all shades of browns and greens, and that's why our hospital is painted in those shades.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't leave anything to chance as far as providing our patients with an environment that is going to be immune stimulating, and that's why from the colors to all of the activities, we have laughter therapy, we have music therapy, we have Bible studies, meditation, all of the things that are going to help our patients have a stronger and better functioning immune system.
Mm-hmm. Now, is this what you call the integrative regulatory therapy?
Exactly. The integrative regulatory therapies at the Oasis of Hope Hospital are a number of therapies that, when integrated, are going to work for the benefit of the patient.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if anything really separates the Oasis of Hope from any other oncological institution around the world,
mm-hmm,
is this fact. We do not work against the tumor.
Mm-hmm.
And at the beginning, a lot of people may say, well, that's crazy. If you're an oncologist, that's what you're supposed to do, destroy tumors. Well, we have seen over the last 75 years that destroying tumors has not brought a lot of benefit to a lot of patients. So instead, we work for the patient so that the patient can heal him or herself. So
mm-hmm,
our aim is always the patient. And if we provide sufficient resources to a patient, the patient can and will heal him or herself.
Mm-hmm. Now, are patients inpatient and then they go home? And do they continue treatment at home? Or do they stay there till they recover? And then how often do they come back?
Very good question. Most of our patients are going to be inpatients, not because their condition is always that poor that they have to be hospitalized,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
but because they come from very far away, and so we house them,
mm-hmm,
actually in the hospital. And that's why our hospital also has a very a hotel-like feeling,
mm-hmm,
although it is a full-fledged hospital. And so the patients will come initially for a period of 11 days to 2 weeks,
mm-hmm,
where they will be evaluated and they will begin the treatment. And then depending on the combination of the integrative regulatory therapies, they will be back on a monthly basis or bi-monthly or every 3 months, depending on how aggressive the tumor is,
mm-hmm,
and how they are responding to therapy, so that we can make whatever adjustments are necessary to obtain the best results. And the follow-up therapy is indefinite. As long as the patient is alive,
mm-hmm,
they will be under our care. And this is something that only therapies like ours we can do, because in most of the cases when you use very harsh therapy like chemo or radiation,
right,
therapy, there are capping dosages where you cannot give any more, because then you will kill the patient.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the most frustrating things is when you are getting very good results with chemotherapy, and let's say the tumor is 80, 85, or 90% gone, and then you capped the dosage, and you cannot continue with therapy anymore, and then the tumor will come back and most likely kill the patient. So
mm-hmm,
one of the beauties of our therapy is that it's a therapy that can be done indefinitely.
Mm-hmm.
It's also a very fluid therapy, as we find new things in scientific papers that could benefit the patient. We will institute them and apply those changes to our patients.
Mm-hmm. I noticed that you even had pomegranate listed, and I want to tell you my story about pomegranate. My PSA went up to 9.6, and I contacted Bernie Siegel, and he suggested pomegranate extract. And so I got some, and within 2 months, my PSA was down to 5.
It works incredibly well, and if you do a search on PubMed, on you know, medical publications,
mm-hmm.
you will find a plethora of reports, scientific reports, on the benefits of pomegranate.
Mm-hmm.
So it is most unfortunate that most doctors out there who are criticizing alternatives for not having scientific basis, that they are not reading the literature,
because there's
a lot of research behind each one of the supplements that we give our patients.
Right.
Pomegranate is one of them, and I'm very happy to hear that you had very good results with it.
Well, the other one that I've had wonderful results with, and that's pumpkin seed.
Yes, of course, because of its very high content of zinc. So especially for prostate problems, that would be a very good combination, yes.
As men get older, they sometimes tend to dribble in their urinary flow, and the pumpkin seed takes about 2 weeks, but then there's no problem with the flow after that, and I'd much rather take something natural than take chemicals in my body.
Of course, and there are so many things. One of the problems is that in this culture of convenience that we have, we expect, you know, to take a product and within the next few hours to see some results, and so doctors do not spend the time with their patients in telling them, listen, this is something that will work for you, you just have to stick to it, and you will begin seeing results in 2 to 4 weeks, and they are very, very effective with
mm-hmm.
these natural elements.
Right. Now, Francisco, you have a very good success rate compared to other hospitals. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, we are running right now 2 clinical trials, one with integrative regulatory therapies, including chemotherapy.
Mm-hmm.
And, for instance, in cancer of the breast, our 3-year survival rate is twice as high as the patients that only take chemotherapy. In ovarian cancer is more than twice. In colon cancer is 2 times
mm-hmm.
better.
Mm-hmm.
But in cancer of the lung, it's almost 15 times better.
Wow.
So we are very excited about this,
mm-hmm.
these results. We cannot, unfortunately, do prospective clinical trials in all tumors because we are a small private entity, and we have no funding from anybody to do more clinical trials. If we had, we would do them.
Mm-hmm.
And then our second trial is using vitamin C as chemotherapy based on studies done at the NCI where they found that using vitamin C in very high dosages, not what Linus Pauling recommended,
mm-hmm.
about 10 grams,
mm-hmm.
here they're using between 50 and 100 grams, and you have to give them in a very special way and prepare the patient in a very special way. But if you do those things, it actually acts as chemotherapy.
Mm.
And we are seeing that our results in cancer of the lung are even better
mm-hmm.
without chemo. So I think that in the near future, we will not offer chemotherapy at all
for
cancer patients, advanced stage cancer of the lung. And the results with ovarian and breast cancer as well as colon cancer are very, very similar to that of chemo. So what we hope to achieve in 5 years is to prove that we could actually treat the most common type of cancers without chemotherapy. That would be our goal.
That would be wonderful because the success rate of using chemotherapy is not that good.
It's not that good. Even when we use chemotherapy in combination with our therapies,
mm-hmm.
we are, you know, at least twice as better.
Right.
But hopefully we will be able in 5 years to prove that even without chemotherapy, we can obtain those results.
But you don't really know, Francisco, if the difference is the other things that you're using and that you would do just as well by using just the other things without the chemotherapy. And that sounds like
that's
what you're moving into.
That is correct.
Into.
Unfortunately, in this world of statistics and
mm-hmm.
In publications, we have to you know, make the case that we are actually, you know, comparing apples with apples and oranges with oranges. And if we don't do that, then, you know, people are going to have very many questions that, you know, could be justified and then not believe our results.
Right.
And so that's why we're doing this study exactly as that. And hopefully at the end of the 5 years, we will then be able to prove without a doubt that a combination of alternative therapies could be as good or better as chemo.
Now, Francisco, do you use the vitamin 17 at all?
Oh, yes. Yes,
you do.
So we use Laetrile. I think my father was the pioneer of Laetrile usage.
Oh, he was.
In the Western, or at least in America. And we continue to use it, and we feel that it's a... it's just a great tool for a number of patients. And so, yes, we believe very strongly in Laetrile.
Well, I'm glad that it's still being used because, as I told you earlier, I used that 33 years ago, and I was told
and,
that...
And precisely one of the cancers where it's most effective is in primary tumors of the lung.
Oh, is it? I was told I had 6 months, and I was offered chemotherapy and surgery. And I said, well, if I only have 6 months, I'm going to enjoy them. I'm not going to put myself through this. And so one of my friends told me about Dr. Roberts up in Northern Virginia. And he told me where I could get it, and he prescribed it. And it worked great. I was very pleased with the results because I could continue working. I had no side effects. I used to carry my apricot kernels around with me, and I'd eat those while I was teaching. And so I'm glad that it is still being used because I think that it does have value.
Definitely. It is one of the tools, the anti-tumor tools, that we continue to use widely at the Oasis of Hope Hospital in Mexico.
So can you tell us a little bit more about your father? He also was an oncologist, right?
My father was a clinical oncologist. I am a surgical oncologist. And, well, he was a very orthodox oncologist until he was, as many oncologists around the world, extremely frustrated at the results and the way we were taking care of patients. And so he came to the conclusion that the reason for the failure was not scientific, was not in the way we do research, but more... than anything, it was a philosophical way of treating patients that was the problem. And so he came to the conclusion very early on that we needed to take care of the emotional and spiritual needs of the patients as well as the physical needs. And that is what caused his fall from the conventional world in which he was. He was a very renowned, very respected oncologist all around in Mexico, and when he came up with the idea that we should be starting to take care of the physical and emotional, they actually kicked him out of the one of the most prestigious hospitals in Mexico, which he was the director. And that actually liberated him, and he began the Oasis of Hope, and actually, thanks to the fact that they kicked him out, the world is looking at medicine in a very different way.
Right.
Today. So he paved the way, he paved the price. So a lot of institutions around the world are coming to the conclusion that we need to take care of the whole patient and not just the cancer.
Well, we need those people, but it's hard on them when they're going through it.
It was very hard. It was very difficult for him. The family also suffered quite a bit. He was ostracized and persecuted for many, many years. But I thank God that at the end of his life, he was able to see the fruit of his work and see that the world had changed dramatically.
Right.
And so I think he was very proud of that and happy to have began what now is well accepted around the world that alternative medicine have a place, especially in the treatment of cancer.
Well, I'm happy that he was where he was and was the person he was at that time. Is there anything else you'd like to say then, Francisco?
Well, one of the things that I would like to share with all of you is the fact that cancer is not a death sentence.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many people that stop living when they get the diagnosis, and that is just so sad.
Mm-hmm.
And there is hope. And one of the things that I would encourage all of you is to make the choice of being a victor of cancer rather than a victim.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a choice that you make. Do not allow this disease, no matter how terrible, to beat you. And there are many ways that you can beat this disease, and we have been working diligently. And I think that in the next few years, we are going to come to terms with the fact that cancer can be converted into a chronic ailment, an ailment that a patient can live with cancer for a very long time and enjoying life at the same time. So do not be discouraged. There is hope for all of you out there.
Mm-hmm. Francisco, I know you have a book, and can you tell us about the book and any other products you have and how the listeners can reach you?
Our latest book is called Hope, Medicine, and Healing, and it talks about the philosophy and treatment options that you have at the Oasis of Hope Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
It also takes you on a tour, let's call it like that, of what we do for our patients, and we end with results, which are very, very encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
You may contact us and get a free book at oasisofhope.com or at 888-500-HOPE, and we will send this book to you free of charge so that you can have more information and thus make an intelligent decision as far as what treatment you would like to have for yourself or for a loved one.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate this very much, Francisco. It's been very interesting, and I look forward
to it. Well, thank you very much. It was my privilege and honor.
Thank you.
Dr. Contreras uses a holistic approach to treating patients with cancer, and I would like to again talk about one of my experiences to show how you would use a holistic approach with any chronic or acute illness or to maintain wellness. When I was diagnosed with lung cancer, my physician gave me 6 months to live, and that was 33 years ago. In 1976, I had a dream that advised me to go for a chest x-ray. Because I had previously had dreams that guided me with health matters, with solving problems, or with finding things, I was not surprised about this and knew I should seek out medical follow-up. I believe that dreams are one way that God speaks with us, so I pay attention. After x-rays and a follow-up biopsy, I was diagnosed with lung cancer. Because of the prognosis, I refused chemotherapy and surgery and instead chose alternative treatments based upon a psychic reading and the guidance offered in my dreams and meditations and prayer and those of a close friend. I contacted a physician in Northern Virginia who examined me, verified the diagnosis of lung cancer, developed a plan for Laetrile 2,500 milligrams in tablet form at bedtime and one in the morning before noon. I also carried apricot kernels, one of the substances from which Laetrile is made, and ate these throughout the day and took a variety of prescribed vitamins, minerals, and pancreatic enzymes. I did not see him again, but was followed by my primary physician. My prescribed diet was low in protein and dairy products, consisting of mainly raw fruit and vegetables, seeds, nuts, and grains, and no coffee, alcohol, tobacco, sugar, or white flour. Supplemental protein was allowed in the form of predigested protein if there was weight loss, and otherwise 3 AG protein tablets with each meal. Exercise was also prescribed, and because of the lack of debilitation, this was easily accomplished, as well as continuing to work and carry out my daily activities. Another part of the program was detoxification, to eliminate toxic residue from the breakdown of diseased tissues and for liver stimulation. I followed a minimal program that
that included occasional fasting with only fruit and vegetable juice, and the regular use of supplemental tablets such as comfrey pepsin and betaine. Although the doctor was vague about other aspects of treatment, I had worked with alternative treatment for years, had read extensively on meditation, visualization, and the influence of prayer, and had worked several years using the Edgar Cayce health readings as a volunteer nurse at the Cayce camp during my summer vacations away from teaching nursing. I developed the following regime. Each day I spent 2 15-minute sessions visualizing the cancer being reduced by the Laetril and vitamins and disappearing from my body. I also visualized my body as healthy and congratulated myself for being successful. I also meditated for 30 minutes each evening before I retired, and at the start of each meditation, I focused on a positive affirmation and then emptied my mind of all thoughts. When thoughts intruded again, I returned to the affirmation and the emptying process. During the day, I used positive affirmations, and a typical affirmation might be, "I am happy and healthy, and God is with me." At stressful times, I use stress management techniques. For example, during those periods at work, I retreated to my office and, after quieting my body, visualized a peaceful setting, meditated briefly, or went through progressive relaxation exercises. I also continued my weekly search for God meetings and meditated daily with this group. One of the most important aspects of my regime was to maintain a positive attitude toward daily life and recovery. If others talked about following the doctor's orders for surgery or in any way placed a negative doubt in my mind, I thanked them for their concern and walked away if necessary. I also believe an important aspect of being positive is my faith in God. Other useful spiritual attributes included being of service to others and developing the attributes of love, patience, and forgiveness. The way to do all of these activities is discussed in my book, Healthy Holistic Aging, A Blueprint for Success. I also contacted the now deceased Olga Worrell, a nationally known psychic healer, who put me on her prayer list and prayed for me each day. I was also on several church prayer lists. I saw my physician every 3 months for x-rays and an evaluation of any changes in the tumor, but did not share any treatments with him. I continued my treatments and visits to my physician for 2 years, after which time the tumor was gone. My local physician said he thought he must have made an incorrect diagnosis, but a physician friend, medical director of Blue Cross and Blue Shield in another state, reviewed all of the reports, x-rays, and tests, and concluded that it was definitely lung cancer. My second guest tonight is Dr. Arlene Doner. Dr. Doner graduated summa cum laude with a doctorate in naturopathic medicine from the University of Bridgeport College of Naturopathic Medicine, which is one of the 4 accredited university programs in North America. She is board certified and licensed as a naturopathic physician in Connecticut. Part of her naturopathic position was at the Lucas Clinic and Ida Wegmann Clinic in Switzerland, where she worked with patients having cancer and other acute and chronic conditions. Dr. Doner completed an externship at the Callan Lourdes Community Health Center in New York, working with allopathic physicians who specialized in HIV/AIDS healthcare. She also holds a master's degree in speech and language pathology and is the former medical director of the supplement manufacturer's Health Guard, located in Princeton, New Jersey. Currently, she is in private practice working with clients with chronic health problems and lectures locally
on prevention and treatment of diseases using biological medicine and clinical nutrition. She has written articles for magazines and been a guest on Tribeca Radio. She is a member of the American Association of Naturopathic Physicians, New York Association of Naturopathic Physicians, and the Oncological Association of Naturopathic Physicians. More information is available at www.drdoner.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Arlene, and I look forward to an interesting discussion.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. First, naturopathic medicine is commonly used with cancer patients. Can you tell us what this is?
Well, naturopathic medicine, we are trained as primary care physicians. We have to do a pre-med program. We do 4 years of medical school. We take medical boards. We do residencies and work in clinics.
Mm-hmm.
We are trained in conventional medicine, or as they call allopathic medicine, but then we then focus on the pharmacology of botanical medicine, clinical nutrition, homeopathy. We take a part of our scope of practice also involves counseling, physical medicine,
mm-hmm.
oriental medicine. So we, and pharmacology,
mm-hmm.
we have to know about the drugs because obviously herbs can interact with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're considered more, you know, our expertise is more in the botanical and clinical nutrition part.
Mm-hmm. So it's pretty comprehensive.
It's very comprehensive.
Background.
It's a very detailed program.
Mm-hmm. Then, Arlene, will you tell us about some of the botanicals, the supplements and nutrients that you use with cancer patients?
Okay. First, I'd like to say there's so many botanicals out there that actually have benefit in cancer
mm-hmm.
when working with cancers, but you also have to look at a particular cancer,
uh-huh.
and then there's been research with specific herbs for a particular cancer. Recently, there's been research with pomegranate and prostate cancer. So, and I try to limit the amount of supplements I have people take.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like, people will come into me and they're on 30 different supplements, and I don't think that's the best way to go.
Yeah.
So I like to look at the research that's out there. There's a lot of science out there, studies that have been done, human trials, to see what's the best supplement I can give a person for that particular cancer.
Mm-hmm.
If I could just back up for a second and just
mm-hmm.
say that the first thing we always do before we even get started with that is start with the diet and nutrition, because that's also essential. There are foods that people eat that are actually pro-inflammatory,
mm-hmm.
pro-oxidative, that take away from their health,
mm-hmm.
and there are foods that work in the other direction,
mm-hmm.
that are healthy for them. So we have to start with that because everyone has to eat, and they might as well have a diet that supports their health.
Mm-hmm.
Two herbs that, well, they're not herbs, actually. They are bioflavonoids.
Mm-hmm.
And as you, I'm sure you know, bioflavonoids are the parts of the food that give them the color. And they're two essentials that I almost always give
mm-hmm.
the cancer patients that I work with. One is curcumin.
Mm-hmm.
And curcumin is the bioflavonoid that gives color to turmeric,
mm-hmm.
which is an Indian spice. But a lot of research about curcumin, it has to be given actually at very high doses because
mm-hmm.
it doesn't absorb well into the body. But it's strongly anti-inflammatory, it's strongly antioxidative, but it also, research, they've been able to study the pathway that it works on
mm-hmm.
in the body, and it can help with metastases, so that I use it so that if someone has had cancer already, we try to prevent it from spreading again. It also works, I don't know how detailed you want me to get with this,
mm-hmm.
but something called the P53 gene.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has a gene in each cell that if something goes wrong with that cell, if it starts becoming abnormal, that gene gets turned on, and that cell is supposed to self-destruct.
Mm-hmm.
Many people who have cancer, that fails them, and that cell can grow abnormally. And we know that curcumin can actually support that P53 gene to help with cell death, programmed
mm-hmm.
cell death.
Mm-hmm.
So curcumin is something I almost always give a cancer patient. The other is the bioflavonoid from green tea extract, EGCG, and that's another one that many of the properties that the curcumin has, the EGCG has the same kinds of properties. And of course, according to the studies, you have to give it at very specific doses.
Mm-hmm.
I know people say to me, well, what if I cook with turmeric and what if I drink green tea? And I say, well, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, we look at the research to see how many milligrams per day have been given to get the kind of results that they are looking for. And you can't get that when you're just sprinkling some turmeric on your food and drinking. You'd have to drink an awful lot of green tea to get that.
Right.
I always start with that, and because I'm looking that for the anti-inflammatory, antioxidative issues and the other things that I discussed. And then, of course, also coming in that category, the fish oil supplements or the omega-3s, they have many of the same properties. I will usually include either a flaxseed oil or a fish oil if someone's a vegetarian and they don't want to have fish oil. Or some sort of fish oil supplement, although you do have to be careful with fish oil because besides having all these wonderful properties of anti-inflammation and it also has anti-metastatic properties, it does inhibit platelet stickiness and it prevents platelets. It's a blood thinner, essentially. So you have to make sure that people have adequate platelets. You know, some people have been through chemotherapy, you know, their platelets go down. So you have to be careful with that. So for some people, I might not give that at all or just a very low dose. And then, of course, the next thing you look at is boosting the immune system. And obviously that's essential when you're working with people who have cancers. The research that I work with leans toward boosting what are called natural killer cells. We know that that's our body's natural defense, the innate defense against, it's actually it's antiviral, but it also, it's that's what goes after the cancer cells in our body. And I find, I mean, when I test, when I do blood work and I test people's natural killer cells, people who have cancer, generally they tend to be on the low side. So there's a lot of research out there that shows that there are constituents of certain mushrooms, like maitake, reishi mushroom. I like to work with Coriolis versicolor. I can get a very high dose, a doctor-only high dose supplement that I give people, and depending on where they are in their situation, if someone's going in to have chemotherapy, I will dose them very high, because the one thing we want is to keep that white blood cell count up. I also work with a fermented wheat germ extract. I don't know if you want me to say what the name of the product is.
That'd be great.
Should I say what the name is? Okay, it's called Avamar, sometimes known as Ave, and the research is European, but that is something, because the way it works through a slightly different mechanism, I can use that with people who have leukemias or lymphomas, where generally you have to be careful about stimulating the immune system because they have cancers of the immune system. So, but this particular product, it doesn't build white blood cells, but enhances their ability to function. So I like to work with that as well. And then, of course, it depends then if someone is in the middle of chemotherapy, let's say. I like to prepare people for what might come down the pike. They may go through it and they may be fine, but there are some people who go through it and have side effects. If for some reason they, you know, they have mouth irritation, or some people develop gastrointestinal problems, diarrhea, that sort of thing, I like to give them a very pure whey protein extract. It's whey protein is pure amino acids, which are the building blocks of proteins. This will help them if for some reason they lose their appetite, they can't eat. I'd have them take several of these powdered drinks a day to keep the muscles from wasting away, to feed the muscle. It's also high in glutamine, so it feeds the gastrointestinal tract. It keeps those cells healthier, helps them repair so they don't have that kind of irritation. It also helps with anemia. So they may just take one a day, or they may take four packs a day, depending on what's going on with them. And if they have mouth irritations, I will tell them to keep a little bit of glutamine powder in the house. And if they need to, they can make a little paste and put it directly on any irritations in the mouth that might develop. Or
mm-hmm.
they can do a little swish and swallow and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So just to prepare them. And then, of course, if they're having radiation, I will discuss what they can put on their skin to help
mm-hmm.
with the irritation, aloe and calendula. And there are these salves out now that are just filled with bioflavonoids that they can put on the skin to protect them. So
mm-hmm.
that's the general picture.
Right.
And then, of course, there are other supplements that, you know, if a woman has an estrogen-positive breast cancer, there's,
mm-hmm.
I might tell them to take indole-3-carbinol.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if it's prostate cancer, there'd be other herbs added. So,
mm-hmm.
or if it's lung cancer, I would give them certain amino acids to protect lungs that we know that are very specific
mm-hmm.
to that area. But in general, the things that I just talked about is that's kind of the baseline, along with discussing the food that they should eat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, there are many people that say that if you look to the earth, you know, we will find what we need to cure us.
Right.
Unfortunately, it's hard to keep up sometimes with the chemicals that we're being bombarded with.
Right.
But little by little, as they study more and more of these berries and seeds and, you know, all botanicals, they find that they do help us. With,
mm-hmm.
And there's been research with pomegranate and
mm-hmm.
prostate, so we
mm-hmm.
know that there's definitely that relationship.
Now, I started taking a mushroom, and you mentioned mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
I started taking a mushroom preparation about 6 years ago after Hurricane Isabel
mm-hmm.
because I had pneumonia, and I don't
oh.
ever want that again. And so I take something called Host Defense
mm-hmm.
made by New Chapter in New England,
right.
and it includes the maitake mushroom. And I have not had a cold, a sniffle, anything since. So.
Well, I will have people who will come to me because I not everyone who comes to me has cancer, as I mentioned to
mm-hmm.
you earlier, about
mm-hmm.
half the people I work with do. But I will have people who will come to me where every fall they get bronchitis or every winter they get the flu, and they will come to me in the summer, and I'll start to prepare them.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I give them is it's a combination of mushrooms. It has a little bit of everything. And I start them on that early in the season, and then they don't get sick.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah. You know, people will say to me, well, I only get 2 colds a year, or I only get 3 colds a year. I said, well, you shouldn't, you know, you really shouldn't get any. You know, and people don't realize you can be healthy and get through the year without ever getting sick. But sometimes we just need a little extra help
right.
in there.
Now, do you work at all with the acid-alkaline balance in terms of maintaining alkalinity to prevent the colds and things?
Well, I'm glad you asked me that question.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people ask me about
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that our acid-base balance in our body, of
mm-hmm.
course, every area of our body has a different acid base.
Mm-hmm.
Skin is different than the gastrointestinal tract. The
mm-hmm.
actual blood is different than the... from the lungs, and it's different all over. The thing is that if you have a diet that's rich in vegetables, that's rich
right.
in fish and
mm-hmm.
nuts and seeds, you're going to have that anyway.
Mm-hmm.
The foods that are the most acidic are the dairy products and the red meats and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then of course you do have acidic foods that are good for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the fruits and the vegetables. I really don't deal with that too much.
Mm-hmm.
I just make sure that people know how to eat properly. I don't want health
right.
to be a chore for people.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
many people who come to me, they've never been to a naturopathic doctor in their life. They don't really know what it is that I do.
Mm-hmm.
And some people, it's a little overwhelming. I mean, there are some people, the only vegetable that's in their diet is a French fry. You know,
right.
So I want to make it as simple for them as possible. And I tell them to just try to eat foods as closely as they grow in nature.
Mm-hmm.
And if possible, if they can have organic fruits and vegetables, if they can have free-range organic eggs, meats that are grass-fed,
mm-hmm.
that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to make health too complicated.
That's great.
So usually if I can just get them on a good, healthy diet and maybe
right.
whatever supplements they need, everything else gets taken care of.
course, the American diet tends not to be too healthy for those that eat in the fast food and some of the places that have the hamburgers and the hot dogs and, as you say, the meats and the things that aren't necessarily the most healthy.
Of course, and I have children who come to me. I work with a number of children who have attention deficit disorder, and I know we're not talking about that today, but and ADHD. And, you know, of course, when I sit and I talk to the parents about what the children are eating, they have terrible diets.
Right.
And the chemicals, that, I mean, even someone who has cancer, I try to, you know, and if they're in the middle of having chemotherapy, obviously they're having these chemical toxins put into their body to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I say to them, if you can afford it, because I know that organic food is more expensive than the regular food we have there, but I try to get them to put as little dye and chemicals and artificial, any kind of preservatives, the least amount in their body just to protect it further. And generally also, and I didn't mention this before, I will usually give them something to support their liver health also, like a milk thistle or something like that, to help with detoxification, particularly if they're going through chemotherapy, because they have to make sure that this is getting out of their body. And if, let's say, their bowel function isn't healthy, if they're having constipation, that's an issue also. Got to get that stuff out of the body. So I'll really push up those dark green leafy vegetables, and, you know, particularly the bitter greens, which help with that.
Right. Arlene, would you then tell the listeners how they can reach you, and if there are other services that you provide that might be of interest to the listeners, especially those in the New York area?
Well, my practice, I'm in Manhattan. I'm on Fifth Avenue between 17th and 18th Street, near the Union Square area, if you're familiar with that. I have a website, www.drdonar.com, and they can go to that and reach me there. But as I said, in my office, I also have an acupuncturist in my office and a chiropractor in my office, so we look at the physical part of that as well, of health. And not only, as I said, I not only work with cancer patients, but I was also the medical director for a cholesterol company that had a natural product for lowering cholesterol. And I work with people who just want to get back on track with diet and exercise, hypertension, as I said, high cholesterol. I work with a number of people with autoimmune diseases, Hashimoto's, thyroid conditions, lupus, scleroderma, rheumatoid arthritis. My focus is on the immune system, but I see people from babies who've been exposed to heavy metals to older people who have started to show signs of Alzheimer's. So it runs the gamut.
Well, I thank you very much, Arlene. This has been very interesting, and I'm sure that there's information that will be useful to the listeners.
Well, thank you so much. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you.
I thank you for joining me tonight on the Holistic Health Show. I also invite you to my website, www.holistichealthshow.com, where you can review parts of my book, Healthy Holistic Aging, that forms the basis of this show. You also will see an ebook on cancer available for purchase. If you have not been there before, you will find past shows on my blog. I thank you for joining me tonight, and I wish you a good evening.